We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
There's an alternate universe where we're sitting here today wondering about Sean D. Brown Jr. and what he will bring to Michigan's men's basketball team. Heck, there's alternate universes out there where he played for Gonzaga, Illinois, Iowa State, or LSU, the four teams he put on his initial Final Four back in April of 2020. Needless to say, he came to Michigan, and that was great. But as we all know, the last 13 to 14 months, it's been interminable and really a blur all at the same time. But remember, when Michigan did indeed get the commitment from Sean D. Brown Jr., he was an undergraduate transfer. Immediate eligibility was not guaranteed. And if you followed this over the years, there's about as much consistency and knowledge in terms of what constitutes the granting of immediate eligibility in college basketball as there is with figuring out if a reviewable targeting call will be upheld or not in college football. But as the Wolverines made their way back to campus this past summer, and as their work stretched into the early fall, Michigan and Sean D, most importantly, waited to hear about his eligibility fate. Yep, Sean D went about his business. Then the great news, Sean D did get that immediate eligibility, and he could fully focus on the season ahead in a different role than what he was accustomed to. A bench option, normally the first one off the bench, after being a focal point, and most of the time the focal point, at Wake Forest for three seasons. Despite all that, Sean D went about his business. And of course, this was a season unlike any other. Daily COVID tests, few or no fans in the stands, a shorter schedule that did not get announced until very late in the game. Yet Sean D kept going about his business. What was that business? Well, it could have been a focus on propping up his draft stock, on going out of his way to prove that his shooting percentage could improve, on trying to be the star. Sean D doesn't do business that way. The guy's a winner, whether it was as a 30-minute-a-game type of a player or as an energy guy for 20 or so minutes off the bench. Sean D went about his business while allowing those efforts to do the talking for him in terms of his future and his NBA draft stock that will now become the focal point of what he's working toward. Sean D is indeed off to the NBA draft. He's hired an agent, officially closing the book on quite a one-year run in the maize and blue. As of now, Sean D does have some work to do to jump most draft boards, but you better believe he'll continue to just go about his business and let the work speak for itself. Over the last year, that's worked really well for Sean D, even if the backdrop has provided some unique challenges. Great to catch up with Sean D. Brown Jr. We'll have that for you here today on another off-season edition of Defend the Block.
We're talking Michigan basketball. Welcome to Defend the Block, where we'll take you inside the basketball programs with interviews, analysis, and so much more. Now, here's your host, Brian Bush.
Yeah, I still marvel at how guys like Sean D. Brown Jr. and Mike Smith and the freshmen were able to acclimate themselves so well into this program, into this culture, because I think as we all learned, you can do things and you can build relationships over Zoom through phone calls and video calls and FaceTimes and stuff like that. But there's such a cogency, there's such a camaraderie that is necessary to play college basketball at a high level. And the way that, you know, in the early going of the season, when Michigan was racking up victory after victory, when they had those three straight wins by 19 or more points over ranked teams, first team to ever do that, you just felt like this is a team that had played together for years, and not just some of the parts. Certainly there was some of that with Isaiah and Eli. I mean, Franz Wagner had really endeared himself so well to this program as a freshman and had become such a focal point. But there was that gelling that I think took place over the summer months into the early fall that, let's face it, it would have been easier to do it when we were in normal times, when you could go to a movie, go out to eat, hang out at various friends' apartments, dorms, etc. You could come into the PDC when you wanted to, go through Camp Sanderson in the traditional way, etc., etc. But Sean D was a big part of that. Great to catch up with him, and we'll have that for you momentarily. Did want to shout out Naz Hillman. She is a finalist for Team USA. She'll go to a training camp coming up in June. Almost certainly will be a part of that 2021 Team USA roster that will play in the AmeriCup down in Puerto Rico. 10 different nations, June 11th to the 19th. And Naz will, again, almost certainly be on that roster. Another accomplishment running out of them. If you missed our conversation from a few weeks back, you can get it here on the podcast platform. Also, a heads up, coming up on Thursday in the trenches, John Jansen will sit down with the head coach, Jim Harbaugh. We'll have that for you on Thursday. Great conversation. Looking forward to sharing that with you. But now, Sean D. Brown Jr., we really appreciate his willingness to come on. At this point, he's locked in on that NBA draft process, but he did take a little bit of time to reflect on what was a special season. Not many one-year players that make an imprint on Michigan. Let's face it, there haven't been a lot of one-year players in this program over the years. Sean D and Mike Smith are certainly in that situation. Jerron Simmons only played one season with Michigan. Now he's a part of the staff as the video coordinator, and he's excelling at that. Ignas Brazdeikis, of course, the Big Ten Freshman of the Year back in 2019. But there aren't many examples of that. The imprint, the impact that Sean D. Brown Jr. made on this program will be felt for years. He talks a little bit about what he hopes his legacy will be and about some of the young players he tried to help influence and get ready for enhanced roles now that he's gone. All of that, a great conversation with Sean D. Brown Jr., and it's next. Great to be joined by now former Wolverine, Sean D. Brown Jr. Sean D., appreciate you hopping on, man. And just tell me, what's it been like for you over the last few weeks from the NCAA tournament to deciding you were going to go into the NBA draft to now? What's these last few weeks been like?
Definitely been doing a lot of training. You know, I took about 2 weeks off from the season, just rest my body to clear my mind, just to basically refresh. But since then, I've been doing a lot of training, you know, trying to, you know, get my body better, a lot of stretching, you know, working on my game, working on my weaknesses, and just, you know, try to make them strengths. But a lot of training is happening this past few weeks.
How does that differ from some of the in-season stuff you've done, or maybe some of the previous off-season work you did because you were getting ready for college basketball? Now you're going to be going through the draft process and stuff along those lines. So is your training at this phase, late April, different than what it was in your previous years in your career?
Not really. Basically working on the same type of things, trying to get them better and working on a lot of my weaknesses that I'm doing. But yeah, it's basically the same training, nothing new, just, you know, working hard every day, trying to get in the gym every day, and just working on different type of things. But yeah, it's basically, you know, the same hard work I've been putting in my whole life.
You know, it's interesting because you get to this point and, you know, now it's a business thing. It's a business decision. Everything that you do, you went through the process of finding an agency, Universal Sports and Entertainment Management. What's that process like? Was it different than anything you've done in basketball?
Nah, I mean, it's kind of like picking a school again, a college school, because I know I've been through, you know, picking a college two times now. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, picking what's the right fit for you and who's going to be, if you're going to fit them most of all. And I've been having meetings basically the whole last week, and you know, they were actually my last meeting, and I really, you know, enjoyed them. They were like my, I think I had five, and they were my fifth. I did them last week, and they fit. And you know, I trusted them, and they trusted me. So I just got to go out and do what I do, and I'll be fine.
Last but very much not least, so season ends, and I'm sure you weren't thinking too much about the next steps when you're in that daily grind, especially with the uniqueness of this past season. But when you did take that time to think about what your next step was going to be, what was the thing that kind of pushed you to going to the NBA draft?
Like I said, I have a talk with my parents after every season, you know, just figure out what I need to do and, you know, how my season went, things like that. And we decided, you know, this was the next step, and I feel like it was the right step. I played 4 years of college, and I've done pretty well over the years and things like that. I feel like, you know, I've done pretty much enough. So, this has been my goal since I was a little kid. So, you know, definitely going to go for that.
Well, I know Michigan fans will be rooting like crazy for you. I want to reflect a little bit on this past season, if you don't mind. And the first question is, it's so unique because you and Mike had a whole season here and did not get a chance to play in front of the normal Chrysler Center crowd. Yet, I think you and Mike, and I think even you a little bit more, became a fan favorite. Did you sense that Michigan really embraced you? This fan base really loved having you on the team?
Nah, most definitely. Like I said, when me and Mike came in, you know, we had a goal that we wanted to, you know, have a great last year, and we wanted to play in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, not playing in front of the full crowd, you know, was kind of, you know, wish we could have did that. But, you know, we had our families there, things like that, which was special and everything. But, yeah, fan base at Michigan is crazy, and I really enjoyed it, you know, the past couple of years. Even, you know, when we had a couple losses, they were still supporting us, you know, still had our backs. And, you know, especially when we were winning, they, you know, they definitely had our backs and stuff like that. But, yeah, you know, never been a part of this fan base like this, you know. But yeah, it was awesome. You know, I enjoyed every bit of it since the day I stepped on campus.
What I'm excited about is when you do come back for a game and the place is packed, you're going to get that ovation that you very much deserve. That'll be really cool.
That'll be nice.
During all this, the bubble life, the NCAA tournament, I know you came here for a number of reasons, but one of them was a chance to play in the NCAA tournament. You got that. Now you have a chance to reflect on it. What was it like? Did it feel any different, or were you able to kind of compartmentalize and make sure it was one game at a time?
Yeah, most definitely. I'll take it one game at a time. But, you know, it's hard to believe that you're actually here because you've been dreaming about this, watching this when you were little. So you kind of had to soak it all in. But, yeah, I knew we had a great team. I knew we were going to go far. It was amazing. Like I said, I wanted to play in the NCAA tournament before I graduated, and, you know, I got that goal down. It was amazing. I enjoyed every bit of it. And, you know, especially with my teammates and the staff and the coaches, we just all had a great time, you know, there.
We talked to Austin Davis last week and kind of a similar, hey, reflect on your career, reflect on your past season. And he said that in those introductory Zoom conferences, those early, you know, a little bit later than this time last year, maybe 10 months or so ago, and he said you and Mike in particular really acclimated well. Did you feel like you were a part of the family from the get-go, and how much easier did that make your transition knowing that that feeling was there?
No, yeah, most definitely. I definitely felt like, you know, I was part of the family when I stepped on campus. You know, just teammates just reaching out to me if I need anything, and me just asking questions about, you know, certain things, and, you know, about Ann Arbor, or, you know, about school or practice, things like that. And I felt like, you know, everyone that I asked and the team helped me out and made my transition, you know, easier. So I know it couldn't have been like that anywhere else. But yeah, Michigan is definitely, you know, a family fan base. And that's one of our core values that Coach Howard always talks about, is just family. And it was, you know, it was really a great family that, you know, I had this past season. It's like a family away from home. And I know, you know, me being from Florida and, you know, going up to Michigan, a lot of things are different. But, you know, I loved Ann Arbor and things like that. But yeah, it was great.
You mentioned Juwan Howard. Around this time last year, he's telling you a lot of things that you have to trust because you haven't seen him yet. You haven't been his player. He hasn't been your coach. How did he and this staff deliver on all of those conversations, on those promises? And did you sense that as the season went on? Yes, coach said this, and here it is.
For sure. Yeah, most definitely. Like you said, when he was recruiting me, you could just tell that they really wanted me. They really needed me. You know, like I said, you know, I had, you know, my final four schools and Michigan came in and he said he thought I was staying in the draft, but I told him, no, I was coming back, things like that. But it just, you know, it basically felt like they really needed me and I wanted to be a part of something special. I know that Michigan is a winning program and I wanted to be a part of it and, you know, help this team any way as possible. And I felt like I did that. But yeah, just, you know, I could just tell that they just like really wanted to be, and, you know, every coach knew what I needed to bring to the table. They watched me over the years. They watched, you know, my film at Wake Forest. But yeah, they definitely felt like, you know, I fit the culture. And, you know, just being around those guys that play professionally, Coach Martelli, Coach Isley, Coach Washington, Coach Howard, like they've been around basketball for so long. Some of them coached in the NBA, which in college and things like that. So, you know, they know what they're talking about. And I just wanted to get it with a group of coaches where they knew what they were talking about and they just weren't basically like, you know, just telling you what you wanted to hear just because of Michigan. But, you know, I did my research and, you know, I trusted in them and I'm glad I picked Michigan.
You mentioned Juwan and Howard Eisley as well. Of course, NBA veterans, when they played, they have NBA coaching experience. How much have you leaned on them in the early stages of this process, and how can they be resources to you when you go through? I mean, let's face it, this is going to be, these next few months are going to be unlike anything you've ever experienced.
For sure. Yeah, most definitely. You know, just like they said, they're going to help me out with anything that they can. You know, just asking them about, you know, the other day about, you know, the agency and, you know, how, you know, picking your agent and, you know, a lot of them gave me tips on basically like, it's just like picking college again. Find out what fits you and if they fit you and things like that. So yeah, just asking them different type of questions, asking them things I need to work on, you know, during my game to take my game to the next level and, you know, just different type of things with that. But, you know, like they said, you know, we're family. I'm always welcome back. They always tell me that. I always have the phone number, whatever I need to call or text them, you know, which makes a player or especially me comfortable, you know, especially, you know, when, you know, it's your first time going through this process. But yeah, definitely. I know that they have my backs for life. And, you know I can count on them, you know, for any advice or things like that when I definitely need it.
A few more questions for Sean D. Brown Jr. You alluded to where you're improving. Let's start with where you felt like you grew the most over the last 12 months. Again, you came to Michigan for a number of different reasons, but how did you as a player on the court improve over the last 12 months?
Yeah, most definitely. I feel like, first of all, you know, just being more of a leader, helping the younger guys out. I feel like I did that at Wake Forest, but I definitely feel like I took that up a notch. You know, because I know I was in their positions at first, came in as, you know, a freshman, you know, didn't know what to expect. But, you know, I feel like, you know, I helped Jace, Zeb, Terrence and Hunter out, you know, different aspects and, you know, seeing things that they didn't see, things like that. And, you know, just telling them, you know, that, you know, just stay at it. You know, freshmen go through these type of things, but you got to stay at it. You know, helping them on, you know, whatever that is, if it's school or even on the court, off the court, how to do this, how to do that, because, you know, it's just a new environment for them. And, you know, another reason I feel like improved, I feel like definitely my shooting. You know, after my junior year, I shot 32% from the, no, 31% from 31% from the three. And then this year I shot 42%. So I definitely feel like that was a big jump. I know. And like I said, I feel like, you know, I was definitely a way better shooter than that. I just had to prove it. Even, you know, my coaches at Wake Forest were working me out all the time. And they definitely, you know, knew I was a better shooter than that. So I definitely had to prove it and show a lot of people. And I feel like I definitely improved that. And, you know, just getting my feet set right. And, you know, having the ball and my hands in the pocket and just getting it up fast and quick. And I definitely feel like I showed that.
You mentioned Wake Forest a few times, and you know, I know you left Wake Forest, and I know you still think about your time there fondly. It wasn't like, hey, I got to get out of here, I got to escape. How much did those 3 years help you, not just this past season, but also getting ready? Because you had to go through some stuff that, let's face it, no basketball player wants to go through, but you had to take some lumps.
Yeah, I mean, most definitely wasn't easy. You know, just 3 years were definitely hard, but I feel like I've learned and grow over those past 3 years, learning different things. You know, I also, like I said, I had great coaches there. Danny Manning, you know, all time great, and, you know, Randolph Children, Steve Woodbury, Rex Walters, which they're coaching in the NBA now. And, you know, just learning from them as well. But we just couldn't really put it together. But as I went through them 3 years, I basically, you know, I grew and I learned took pieces and pieces from, you know, coaches, it could be teammates and things like that. And I definitely feel like that helped me, you know, coming to Michigan.
I guess I didn't think about it till now, but man, you've had some really good former players be your coaches.
For sure.
Manning,
yeah.
Childress, Howard, Eisley, dang, it's not bad. Do you have a favorite moment from this past season? Does something stick out to you that you guys experienced, that you experienced, that takes the cake?
Yeah, most definitely. Definitely beating Ohio State at Ohio State, because I know that was probably like the we were number two, and I think they were number three, something like that, or we were number three, or they were number four. But yeah, that was definitely a top five matchup, and beating them on their home court was definitely, you know, special. Another one probably is winning the Big Ten regular season champs. That was huge. I never done that in my career, and it was amazing. Brought out a lot of emotions out of me, and that was on senior night as well. So that was just amazing. Just doing that in front of, you know, our families and things like that. And yeah, those were probably, you know, my two favorite moments.
Yeah, you'll have that banner to look at when you come back. For lastly, sure. I got to get your thoughts on what Michigan will be like next season. Tell me about some guys that maybe didn't play as much as they would have liked. You talked about some of the freshmen mm-hmm. and helping them. Who do you think has that capability? We know Hunter's going to be a contributor on this ball club. You know, Terrence Williams, he has some growth, but boy, he showed a lot. But who's somebody maybe off the radar that you think, yeah, that person's really due for a breakout?
Most definitely, definitely Brandon Johns and Zeb. I feel like they're, you know, and like you said, Terrence has been showing, you know, growth with the minutes he played. Terrence is going to have a great year. We already know what Hunter's capable of doing, but yet, you know, Zeb and Brandon Johns and T. Will, I definitely can see them, you know, having a breakout year. You know, Zeb, you know, he was always positive. You know, he knew that he was a freshman. He had veteran guards in front of him. And, you know, he stayed the course, you know, every practice. He'll be at the gym an hour and a half, 2 hours before, getting up shots, knowing that he doesn't play. But that just shows that he cares. You know, when his time comes, you know, that's why he's always ready, coming off the bench and, you know, coming in and contributing, hitting shots, defending and things like that. And, you know, I feel like, you know, Brandon Johns, you know, definitely showed, you know, what he's capable of doing. And it's kind of like, you know, he was in the same situation as Zeb. You know, he had a veteran in front of him, Isaiah Livers, which is, you know, basically, you know, NBA prospect now, really good. And, you know, he always kept a positive attitude. But when his time came, he came in, made big plays. And, you know, definitely Terrence, you know, just coming in, you know, whenever that is, if that's like the last 2 minutes of the game, or even if it's the freaking first 10 minutes of the game, he just came in, you know, rebounded well, defended well, you know, really good cutter, you know, and, you know, hit baskets when we needed. But yeah, then definitely those three. Yeah, so I definitely can see those. I know they're going to put in the work this summer. You know, I got no question. So I just, you know, want them to stay, you know, focused and level-headed. But I definitely feel like, you know, Michigan's going to be a really good team next year, especially with the freshmen that we got coming in now. I think we're like number one recruiting class, I believe, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, but and definitely, I know, you know, Coach Howard is definitely going to, you know, put those guys in, you know, certain situations and that they're capable of being in and holding them to their strength. So I definitely really excited to watch this next season.
I just don't know what poor Terrence is going to do, because it seemed like he was either your shadow or Isaiah's shadow, just soaking up as much as he could. I'm not sure what the poor guy's going to do without you two around.
Yeah. All those are my guys, man. I just, you know, I'm just, you know, proud. I'm ready to see how they improved over this past year. And I know, like, you know, things I told them this year, I know they're going to be telling the freshmen behind them that's coming in and things like that. Cause, you know, it's high school and college is two different levels. Like, you know, you come on college campus and it's like, it's different. Like, you know, I remember my freshman year at Wake Forest, like, you know, stepping on campus, we were playing pickup and I couldn't score. I couldn't guard no one. I couldn't do nothing. It's like, yo, this is a new level, better people. But yeah, I definitely adjusted quick though.
You're going to have a similar situation here, because you go from the college level to the pros. So who in the NBA have you gleaned from? Who have you talked to try to get advice during this process?
Yeah. I talked to a few guys, not now, but back then. You know, I know that this is a new environment for me and things like that, a new career, but, you know, basically just staying focused. It's a lot of distractions when, you know, when you're being a pro basketball player, you know, just people just talking to you on social media, a different type of thing, just staying focused. And I feel like, you know, that's something, you know, I'm capable of doing. Like the NCAA tournament, I logged off on all social media, so Twitter, Instagram, and it really helped me. It really helped me a lot because people just talk the talk. But yeah, just like I said, just staying focused and basically doing what I do. Don't change anything. I know what I'm capable of doing, and that's it.
You got a lot of fans here in Ann Arbor pulling for you. We look forward to watching you during this process. So hopefully we can catch up whenever you get that landing spot. And man, like I said, I can't wait till you come back to a full Chrysler Center. You're going to get that ovation that you very much deserve, Shondy.
No, I'm ready. Thank you.
Really thankful that Shondy Brown Jr. was able to come out of the podcast and talk about where he's at right now in the draft process and reflect a little bit on what was a special, special season for him and this Michigan men's basketball team. And again, I mean, selfishly, of course, Michigan basketball fans would love to have Shondy and Mike Smith and Austin Davis, who we spoke with last week, back on this roster. But in Mike and Shondy's case, I really wish that they would have had the opportunity to experience this type of a season in normal times. What it would have been like, that early season win streak, to be inside Chrysler Center for all those big victories, for a Big Ten clinch against Michigan State at Chrysler Center on Senior Day, getting to the Elite Eight of the NCAA tournament. It was different, but you know that those two and the rest of the ball club, they really appreciated it. And they won't fully grasp what it meant to fans in and around this community until they come back. And they will. You know they're going to return to Ann Arbor, and they will get that well-deserved round of applause. So thanks to Sean D. He doesn't have to do that. He didn't have to come on here, but I'm very thankful that he did. Appreciative that he was willing and able to reflect during what is a busy time. I mean, he just locked up his agent. He is getting into the working out that is necessary. I mean, it's a little bit of a different process. He said it was largely the same, but there's just different things you have to focus on, different events and different types of processes that he'll have to go through between now and that NBA draft, and we'll certainly keep tabs on how he is climbing those NBA draft boards. That'll do it for this edition of Defend the Block. Stay tuned Thursday in the trenches. Head coach Jim Harbaugh coming up on the episode as John Jansen catches up with the head man about spring ball and the lead up to the opener, Western Michigan, coming up on September the 4th. It'll be here before you know it. So will basketball. We got to wait a little bit longer for that. Subscribe, rate, review, send us an email, MichiganWolverinesRadio@gmail.com. That's MichiganWolverinesRadio@gmail.com. Ideas, thoughts, feedback, we encourage you to send that along. That'll do it. Thank you again so much for listening, and go Blue.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of Defend the Block, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.